You're listening to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, biotechnology is a booming business, and South Dakota companies are competing with organizations around the globe. Local scientists pioneer medicine, agriculture, manufacturing, and research. And we'll talk with a researcher turned business developer about what he sees for area investors and scientists. But before we hear how adults see biotechnology, we take you to the South Dakota Biotech Annual Summit, where some future scientists help equip fellow kids. SDPB's Keely Boltina has this story.
And some of the Boys and Girls Club here, we got a really awesome project we need some help with inside. Do you guys want them to come help us?
Yeah!
All right. Helpers! All right, tell them to come with. Say, come on!
Children from the Boys and Girls Club shuffle into a room with technology vendors. They lead people in suits to long tables placed end to end. Then they instruct.
You put in aprons, okay. And then you put in goggles, and then you put in gloves, and then you grab one of those notebooks, and you put them in here. Oh, shoot, I'm way behind.
You guys are doing such a good job.
Small kids with big personalities pepper the assembly line. They collaborate with biotechnology professionals to fill pull-string bags with science gear. Molly Scherf is a sales representative for Thermo Fisher Scientific. She's also the de facto tour guide / backpack program organizer.
So now they have the personal protective equipment, such as the lab goggles, the chemical-resistant apron, and the gloves to protect them when doing any experiments, even if it's just simple experiments, to help them get into the habits and of understanding, you know, their role later down the road as scientists.
Scherf says the safety essentials help kids dress the part. Line workers move along the table and pull the drawstrings before dropping the black sacks in a box.
Pull them tight like this, so nothing falls out, and we're going to put them right here on this table.
Then they high-five their taller counterparts.
Great job.
Scherf says these science kits are bound for the Boys and Girls Club.
And what it allows us to do is then bring these backpacks into the hands of those out in our community to help promote science, technology, education, and math through STEM programs.
We have a STEM room in our Boys and Girls Clubs where we can do some experimenting, we can let the kids explore.
Rebecca Wimmer is the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of the Sioux Empire.
Some of the kids that come to our center maybe haven't experienced those things before, and so giving them a chance to explore science and even think about careers. Obviously, it's important for us to focus on careers, have kids thinking about their education in a different way. And so giving them an opportunity to have that hands-on experience and think about those things is just one way that we can assist.
Wimmer's group from the Boys and Girls Club talks with people at the South Dakota Biotech Summit. They discuss how science and technology mesh through a familiar medium, Kool-Aid.
I have one cup with a fairly dark green solution in it, a second cup with a lighter green solution, and then water.
Chris Wilson is a technical sales representative for Biotech Instruments. He says he talks to adults about biotech tools as simply as he explains them to kids.
Earlier I was talking about absorbance, where we assign this number between 0 and 4. Some are fluorescence, some are luminescence. And the luminescence markers are kind of like firefly luminescence. So when you see the firefly, we can measure that light signal. At the end of the day, we'll have a negative sample that doesn't glow, and we'll have a positive that glows. We're just putting a number to that. And then somehow, you know, the scientists will have an experiment, and they need to be able to tell negatives and positives. That's it.
Wilson shows youngsters how that works. He says scientists use similar tests in labs that examine animal health and human health.
Pretty cool. Do all these guys have some really neat stuff?
Yeah. So
biotech advocates say capturing kids' attention is key because they say the industry is primed for rapid growth.
Scientific research requires investors who believe in potential breakthroughs, but that's not necessarily enough to support and cultivate biotech companies. Christopher Bausch is chief science officer for SAB Biotherapeutics in Sioux Falls. He grew up on a Nebraska farm and his parents worked in medicine. Bausch says he left the Midwest to chase a science career at companies around the country. Then he returned to the heartland to further his work in biotechnology. SDPB's Keely Boltina talks with Bausch as he combines technology skills with business knowledge in South Dakota.
But science is tough because science doesn't go the way that you want it to. And that's the challenge, is that it's not like building a house where you get your wood and your nails and you have something to show for it. You can spend a lot of time on technologies you think are going to work, and at the end of the day, they turn out to not work out how you thought they were. Biology has a way of doing its own thing. So science is a very hard and challenging thing to get to a commercial point. And it takes patience, and it also takes financing, and it takes people who are wanting to bet on those risks with you. But when it does turn out, it can be a very powerful product at the end of the day. And so being able to combine a lot of the nuances of advancing technology, which seems simple to everybody who's using the product at the end of the day, it's a lot of effort and time and money to get those products, at least that are leveraging biology and biotech, to the point where they're mature. And so the path on getting there is one that's both technical and also business aligned, where you have to understand your market. So it's a really challenging business, but a fun challenge.
And you're speaking generally. Do these generalizations apply to, devices and drugs that are being put into human beings, but also to agriculture and biology there, and also biofuels? I mean, is this kind of a blanket explanation for all of these?
Yeah, the science is always challenging and hard. The regulatory is different, right? And so when you're commercializing a product that's going into human beings and their bodies, in a way that's not natural, where you're injecting an IV drug, you have to go through regulation to make sure that it's safe. That takes time. You have to check every box on that process to make sure it's safe and has high efficacy. When you come to other technologies that maybe don't have that regulatory hurdle, you can get it to the market quicker. And in industry, things that are going into your gas tank, there are regulatory barriers, but they're much lower, say, than in pharmaceuticals. And then research tools, there's almost no regulatory barrier there. As long as you develop the product specs that you want and a research scientist likes it and can use it as part of their investigational tool, you're off to the road and selling a product. So there's various degrees of how regulation can make it more challenging and difficult to get a product to the market.
We talk about science and technology as it applies to healthcare, as it applies to agriculture, as it applies to different research at our universities. And help me understand what you see South Dakota's goals as in any of these fields. Where do we start, or are we there? Give me the general state of the situation.
Yeah, obviously ag runs deep in the state of South Dakota, and advancing ag through innovation and technology is a no-brainer. But again, there's challenges to be able to do that because you're working against biology. But it's a great alignment for the state of South Dakota to really advance our base and leverage, the assets that we have here in the state of South Dakota, particularly the grains that can be used as feedstocks to produce really innovative bio-based products. Also leveraging, even dairy to come up with innovative ways to get high-value proteins out of this dairy and process that. So we have the basis to make very innovative and higher-value products with the resources that we have here. That's the first base we want to go after. Healthcare is an industry that has just evolved and grown here over the last, 20 years. And we are kind of turning into an epicenter, almost like the Mayo Clinic in the Midwest. This is between Sanford and Navarre. This is a very strong area. So they want to advance their technologies as well, particularly in the diagnostic and the therapeutic areas that align with their interests. So being able to bring technology that aligns with that is a great fit to this rapidly growing industry in healthcare in South Dakota.
What about human capital? Are there enough people here to do these jobs? We talk all the time about the low unemployment rate and how we have a mismatch of skill sets and the jobs that are available.
Yeah, I think that it's better than we think that it really is. There's definitely a large resource of new trained talent that's coming out of the universities. Now, the question is the misalignment. Are they really aligned with the industries that we have here? And I think there is some work to be done in that area where they need to be better aligned and better trained. But there is a abundance of 400 kids coming out on an annual basis. Both graduates and undergraduates, they're trained in the general bioscience area that can find jobs. And the thing about bioscience is that it's a fairly universal, platform from an educational training base. You get your base, but you need to have your polishing, if you will. And so there needs to be that polishing step, which allows you to be specialized for each of these technology industries in South Dakota. So I think that's another area, and I know Dan Engelbertson is working on programs like that that are available for advanced degrees where they can get a couple years of polishing in a specialized area to make them more focused and maybe more aligned with biotech in the state of South Dakota if we can build that base up But there needs to be more companies definitely here for these new students to move into. You know, 66 companies isn't a whole lot, and we need to grow that.
Dan Engelbretson is associated with the University of South Dakota and the Gear Center. Does our training situation here meet that need? Are we trying to draw students, new grads from outside of the state? Is it better to grow them at home? How does that work out?
Yeah, that's an intricate balance, I think, that needs to be further looked at. But students that go to universities, like myself, I mentioned, you know, I wanted nothing more than get out of the state of Nebraska and get away from my farm and go to the real world where I could grow. And I realized that after being in it, I wanted nothing more to come back to my home region. And Sioux Falls is a good fit for that. So there's just going to be those kids that want to go off and do that. But I think if we can keep track of them in their areas of polishing, if you will, in industry, they're going to come back to their families where they were born, where they were raised, and they're going to bring their families back here. So that's an important thing. For kids that are coming out right now, it's a combination of having access to the jobs that you want, particularly that are bioscience focused. And the healthcare industry right now is absorbing a lot of that new talent because they're growing. And there's a cross-functional capability of those students that have a science mind that can go into the healthcare industry. So providing more resources and more companies here, whether they're growing companies or established companies, I think will keep a lot more students around here, but they're always going to be those that are going to go off on their own way, and that's okay.
When it comes to companies, are we looking to grow companies here in South Dakota, or are we looking to attract companies from other places to move here and then further develop? What's the right way to handle that sort of growth in biotech?
I think, you know, you want to build it so it's sustainable. And so we want it, you know, building it from the ground floor up and having those companies that have pedigree here that, you know, have evolved here, will stick around here and continue to foster this environment and give back to this environment as well. That's what we want to strive to do. Now, you know, companies that want to come here because there's a good strategic fit, meaning that they're ready to build a commercial plant or something of that nature and we're the right fit for it, yeah, let's bring them in, let's get them here. But, you know, the state has to be careful to get the right caliber of technologies and companies that we want here. I mean, we don't want the duds from the coast that can't make it on the coast trickling into our state just because they think it's easy or there's easy money, right? And they're really not a well-positioned company for success. So that happens. I've run across a number of those types of events. And so being able to build our own and have that base is a very important thing, and it's also great for the economy in the U.S. in general, because you know when you take and move something here, you're taking away from somewhere else, at least in bioscience. But if you build it from the ground up brand new, you're adding additive to the overall collective bioscience industry.
Give me that economic look about the impact of biotechnology in South Dakota. This is an industry that creates jobs that pay well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, right now, 2,500 jobs right now are being, you know, provided here in the state of South Dakota because of the bioscience industry. And that's growing. That's rapidly growing. When you talk about, you know, salary, you know, an average salary difference of 57% is significant. You know, the average salary in bioscience is $60,000 a year. And when you look at the occupational average in the state of South Dakota, you know, in the mid-30s, that's a significant increase for not only an individual, but also the family.
How does that ripple out into society past just having a job in biotechnology?
It fuels itself, right? You get a bigger cluster. It's like a groundswell type of effect where the companies will continue to grow. You'll attract more talent. The talent will stick around here. There's a better economy. You know, people who have a higher salary and a family income will put back into the general economy and buy things that we can support here with industries in the state of South Dakota. So it's a cyclical thing. The economy will grow, the base of the economy will grow and it'll also foster a perpetual environment of increasing and attracting, I think, the biotech and those employees to stick around here. And it just perpetuates, it's self-perpetuating, if you will.
What's the most critical takeaway from a discussion about biotechnology in South Dakota, the science of it, the business of it, that we haven't touched on that people have to remember or just need to know?
You know, I hear a lot that people don't know about the biotech going on in the state of South Dakota, and I'm okay with that because we're gonna show them off someday, and we already are turning heads. I mean, the company I work for right now, we're talking to very impactful people on the coast, and you know, they're scratching their head, going, "Wow, you know, this exists there." And yes, it does. And so, companies like that that achieve those types of successes are only going to add to our notoriety. And I'm okay with being quiet and secretive. It's kind of the Midwest way. You know, we show by action, not by, you know, stomping our chest and marketing ourselves. But from, you know, putting us on the map, it's those types of actions, I think, that are the right way to go that will attract naturally by diffusion these companies and also the talent back to the state of South Dakota. Because we've proven ourselves. You know, when you can prove yourself and say, look, there is a company that started from scratch and now is, you know, a Fortune 500 company or has now made it to a multi-billion dollar state. Wow, that's you know, that's proof in the pudding right there.
And that can happen here. It does.
It is happening here. Yeah. And it's a smoldering fire right now that's going to turn into a inferno, I hope, in the next 10 years. It would be wonderful to be a part of that.
Christoph Bausch is a business and biotechnology leader here in Sioux Falls. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
That was SDPB's Keely Woltina. And Christoph Bausch says South Dakota has distinct biotechnology advantages. He points to access to local money for startups and strong agriculture, industrial, and medical industries. But Bausch says the state lacks investment potential for growing businesses. And he says a lack of wet lab space restricts the number of people who can conduct novel research.